الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, when Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to Medina Munawwara, then there was a practice that was quite common known as tatfif. Tatfif literally refers to cheating, deception, fraudulent dealings. So this was quite common amongst the people when Rasul Paksam had come to Medina Munawwara. When they would receive any consignment, they will ensure that they receive it in full. A small consignment or a big consignment, but what is due to them, they will ensure that they are receiving it fully. Whether it is a product that they are receiving, whether it is a contract that has been signed and agreed upon, so they would ensure that they are getting it full. The 2 rands was due to me at the end of this month, I'm getting it. Or the 2 kilos were due to me and I will ensure that I get the 2 kilos. So whatever was due to them, they will ensure that they get their full, and nobody cheats them even for 1 gram. But وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But by the same token, if they have to give to people by weight or by measure the dues of people, their obligations, their rights, then they will not take these type of precautionary measures to ensure that the people are getting their proper dues. Whether they are giving full or not, they are not concerned. Rather, they will make an effort to see that they don't give him exactly what is due to him. So this was a common practice. Rasul Pasam witnessed this. So obviously, this type of deceiving, fraudulent dealings, and this type of cheating is not something what Islam advocates. Islam advocates, like you would like to receive your dues in full, then give people their dues also in full. Whether it is a product, whether it is a contract, whether it is your word and your honor, but whatever it is, but give it to them in full. You have taken work from someone, then see to it that you've given him full. Whatever has been arranged and agreed upon, then you give him full. In fact, the teaching of Islam is slightly more than what you're supposed to be giving him. You're supposed to giving him 50 rands for the day, and slightly more, give him 5 rands more, 2 rands more, something more than what was due to him. By the same token, the one that is doing the work, he needs to ensure that he also plays his side. He mustn't cheat in his hours. He was supposed to give 7 hours for the day. He must ensure that he's giving that 7 hours. 7 hours complete. So he's giving 7 and he's receiving 7. So he also feels that he has done full, and when he's done full, then he is entitled to that type of remuneration and that type of reward. He doesn't have any type of reservation in his mind, any type of doubt in his mind that I do not deserve this. So the person that is working, he is giving his full. And the one that is paying, he is also giving his full. So both are giving and paying their full. So the one that is receiving, he feels, no, I'm alhamdulillah, I deserve this. And the one that is paying, he feels also, alhamdulillah, I am paying what I'm supposed to be paying. There is no reservation, there is no doubt in their minds. And in fact, there is a clarity, there is a sense of happiness within the mind. Okay, I have done what I was supposed to be doing. I have paid what I was supposed to be paying. I haven't robbed the person for a single cent. So he feels very much relaxed and very happy within his mind. Okay, he has given full. The same happens to the one that is working. He's also giving his full. So each one is ensuring that I am giving my full. Now this is not something just confined to the Mubarak era of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's applicable to us in this age as well. If I am working for you, then I need to ensure that I am giving my full. I am giving my best and I am giving my full. If it is 6 hours that you have taken me in your employ, then I am giving you that 6 hours. In that 6 hours then, I am not stealing in that 6 hours. If it's the 6 hours that I have given you, in that 6 hours I am not taking my personal calls, I am not listening to the cell phone, I am not getting engaged in something else. I am giving you my 6 hours, I have dedicated the 6 hours, so I am giving you that 6 hours. But in the 6 hours that I have given you, if I am taking calls, I am entertaining phones, etc., that means I am cheating in your time. It was your time, this time was meant to be for you, you have bought the time from me, so I need to give you the time completely. When I have given you the time completely, so I am stealing from you. Similarly, when I am working for you, then it's also required that I see to your interest. Otherwise, if I'm not looking at your interest, then I'm cheating you. If the clientele are coming and I'm supposed to be standing and looking at the clientele, and I'm diverting them from your shop to my own shop that is in the other part of town, then also it's the type of cheating. That I was supposed to be looking after your interest. And your interest means I must sell them your product. Now, instead of selling them your product, I am moving them to another part of town by going to that shop and go and buy the product from there. So really that is also cheating. So when Rasulullah ﷺ came to Madina Munawwara, so he saw this practice quite common, and the verses of the Quran were revealed, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Destruction, ruin to those people that practice tatfif. So this tatfif, التَّتْفِيفُ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, Imam Malik Rahmatullah used to say, the tatfif and this fraudulent ways, this deceptive ways, is not only in business, it's in everything. Umar radiallahu anhu saw someone not doing his salah correctly. He wasn't doing the ruku correctly, he wasn't doing the sajda correctly. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, لَقَدْ تَفَّفْتَ, you have done it with fraudulent, in a fraudulent way you have done it. You have done it in a deceptive way. You have done your namaz, but it is deceptive. You are fulfilling an obligation of Allah Ta'ala, like when you are fulfilling an obligation of a man, you ensure that you are doing it full. You are not doing it half, quarter, you are not leaving out anything. You are giving it full. When you are receiving also, you wanted it full. So when you are giving Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, see that you are giving Him full. It mustn't be that the ruku is not right, the sajda is not right, the recitation is not right, the At-Tahiyyat is not right, the Surah Fatiha is not right. See that when you are giving it to Allah Ta'ala, then you are giving it full, correctly. You would want it full for yourself, and that person would want it full for himself. So when you are giving to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, His right and His due, see that you are giving Him His due also completely and fully. Otherwise, you will also be guilty of tatfif. So at-tatfifu fi kulli shay. Tatfif and fraudulent dealings apply to every situation, not only one situation. One person went out in Jamaat for some time, and really the effort of Jamaat is to conscientize the person. If you got this consciousness, then you've got everything. And that conscience has to be in every facet of your life. After you've come out in the Jamaat, or you've gone into the Khanqa, whatever, what was the whole process? What was the whole theme? The theme was you conscientize yourself. You conscientize yourself now, a doctor will be conscious and he will be quite aware that I am in my surgery and how do I need to conduct myself in that surgery? I'm there alone with a nurse now, or alone with a woman patient. What do I do? You know, he's alone now. Shaitan is running in his mind. What does he do at that time? So he needs to preempt that situation, that if I'm going to be in the surgery, then there will be occasions whilst I'll be alone with that patient. Or it may be that the patient doesn't require an internal examination, and under some pretexts or something, I see the woman to be quite pretty, and I say, no, you will need an internal examination, and that she has to undress. Now, only Allah Ta'ala knows about this. You may feel that nobody knows about it. Even the person that you are treating, she may also not know about it. But Allah Pak knows exactly what's in your heart, that does she require this type of examination, or it's known to Allah Ta'ala alone. You also know it that she doesn't require that type of examination, but now under some pretexts you had to see her. When you had to see her, you made up an excuse. When you made up an excuse, did you cheat or not? Now this type of consciousness, this is what is required. Hazrat Jimara Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to say that it is not compulsory for everybody to become a Mawlana, or to become a Hafiz, or to become a Shaykhul Hadith, or a Mufti. No, it's not compulsory for everybody. A few individuals become Mawlanas, Huffaz, or Muftis, etc. to see to the needs of the entire populace, that is quite sufficient. But yes, definitely, it is compulsory for everybody to be Muttaqi. If he's Muttaqi, then he'll have the consciousness. And I'm treating someone else's daughter, do I need to give her an internal examination? One friend of mine is a doctor, so he says that I spent some time, and thereafter that consciousness came to my mind. Now when I have to see a girl, and I first see that definitely does she require that examination or not. If she requires it, then I will not see her breast. Then I will cover her entire breast with another towel, big size towel. I will have a nurse there in my presence, and thereafter I will see with the stethoscope. I will not see with my naked eyes, rather with the stethoscope. So my eyes are not falling on that part. I'm just feeling with the stethoscope. My hands are not touching that area. And there is another person that's watching me as well as to what I'm doing. So I exercise all these precautions so that the shaitan doesn't have the better over me. Now this is when that consciousness has come to me that Allah Ta'ala is watching. So when that consciousness is in you that Allah Ta'ala is watching, then you are driving a car and you have got that consciousness that Allah Ta'ala is watching. So if I'm looking in front, I'm not admiring that woman driver that is in front of me. I'm looking on the side so that I will avoid an accident, not to admire the woman driver that is on my side or on the left. I'm in the shop, then I'm not admiring that client that has come to me. I've got that consciousness, that awareness of Allah Ta'ala, at any given moment, wherever I am, I've got that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. So this is actually what is required of every individual. Does he conscientize himself? Does he have that feeling that Allah Ta'ala is watching him? Alam ya'alam bi anna Allah yara. Doesn't man realize that Allah Ta'ala is watching him? So this is what is required, that for every person to be qualified is not compulsory. Yes, for everybody to have this consciousness that Allah Ta'ala is watching, that is compulsory, that's obligatory. The child, he knows that this is his father, so he will respect him. He knows that this parents of his mean much to him. They are his jannat. If he's going to be obedient to them, he's going to be respectful to them, then it is his jannat. One look and one glance with muhabbat of an obedient child is bringing him the reward of a maqbool hajj. Just one look. He's obedient. Why? He's got that consciousness. No. Allah Pak will be very happy. When I will look at my father with love and muhabbat, then Allah Ta'ala will grant me this type of reward. So he's got that consciousness, that awareness. So wherever he is, really, he is in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has got that taqwa, and this is the taqwa that is compulsory for every individual, wherever he is. You're coming to the masjid, then in the masjid also we have got that consciousness. No, what will Allah Pak like? Will Allah Ta'ala like me to be sitting in the last row, or reclining against the wall? Or will Allah Ta'ala like me to be in the front row and talk to him in the front row? Obviously, we are all beggars. Before Allah Ta'ala, we are all beggars. أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. We all are beggars. In the court of Allah Ta'ala, we all are beggars. Allah Ta'ala is free of all ones. And He's worthy of all praise. Whether you praise Him or not, He is worthy of all praise. And He's free of all ones. So when you're coming into the masjid, you're coming in as a beggar. Coming in as a beggar, you know that you have to go right in front. And go in front right with humility. Like a beggar comes to your place, he comes, he doesn't shout you from the distance. He doesn't from the outside, he won't come and shout you. If you can come close, he'll come close. And when he'll speak to you with humility, "Bas, please help me out. I need something. I haven't got food." Or he'll speak in a very humble way. So when you come to Allah Ta'ala, you'll come right in front. Then you'll come with humility, tadarru'an wa khufya, with fear in your heart, and with softness, in a mild tone, you will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility. Now readily Allah ta'ala will answer your dua. Your duas that you are asking for, Allah ta'ala will answer it. But have you got that approach? Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya, with humility and softly. With humility and softly, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility and softly. Allah Ta'ala is asking you, when you're asking me, ask me with humility and softly. So as though it is your father is telling you, "I will give you everything." But when you're asking me, then you ask me in this way. So when he says you that you must ask me in this way, then he'll give it to you. Exactly the same, Allah Pak is telling you, when you ask me with humility and ask me softly. I will grant it to you. My treasures have got no deficiency, it's not defective. It's not deficient. I'm not afraid that I'll give you a million rand and my treasures will get any less. It's not going to get less. My treasures, if I give everybody's requirement, his desire, I give it to him, is not going to bring any amount of decrease, not even a speck of water in an ocean, not even a drop of water in an ocean, not even that amount of decrease. So I've got limitless reserves I've got, but you need to ask me in a correct approach, in a correct way, and I'll grant it to you. So what we're getting at is this practice was carrying on. And Rasulullah Paksam brought it to their attention that this is not right. So the people of Medina Munawwara, when they heard Rasulullah Paksam, immediately they responded. They responded and they would ensure that they would tip the scale. Zin warjah. They will give, and they will give slightly more than is required. They were supposed to be giving one kilo, then they'll give 1 kilo and a few ounces or a few grams. They won't give exactly just 1 kilo, but few ounces more. Now, when you're going to listen to Allah Ta'ala, it doesn't mean that your wealth will be decreasing in any way. That is the English way, that is the non-Muslim way, that the way of a non-believer. He feels that if he's going to listen to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then the money, the wealth, the treasure is going to be decreasing. No. You listen to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, really it will not decrease, it will increase. Just now, before I could come to this masjid, one person came up to me and he says that his mother-in-law is a non-Muslim. Make dua that Allah gives her Islam. So he says his mother is a non-Muslim. So she was watching some type of a documentary. And the documentary was showing that Islamic law is very hard, you know, very hard, very harsh, very difficult. And you know, Christianity, there is so much of ease, there's so much of forgiveness, and there's so much of ease. Islamic law is very, very hard, very difficult. So I told him, see, the Christian law is a man-made law. So man-made law is a man-made law. It's not God's law, it's not Allah Ta'ala's law. Man is afraid for man. God is not afraid for man. So when it's a man-made law, it has to have adjustments. Like just now, there was the taxi problem, right? The law is the man-made, and the protest is coming from the side of the man. So man had to adjust for man. In Johannesburg, a few months ago, there was the toll problem, right? When they had the toll problem, it was a thing created by man, and then man had to adjust it. Because it's a man-made thing, so man had to adjust it. So when it's a man-made law, it will have to be adjusted by man. So Christianity also is a man-made thing. And the proof that it is a man-made thing is the Bible, the Injil talks about swine being haram, right? When it's haram, it's forbidden, right? But the Pope that is sitting in Italy, in Rome, is declared it to be permissible. So whose law it is? It's not Allah Ta'ala's law, it is a man-made law. Who are you worshipping? Really, you are worshipping the Pope. Pope is saying, this is haram, it becomes haram. He says, this is halal, this becomes halal. So you're not worshipping Allah Ta'ala, you're worshipping a man. Then it came to abortion, so people began to complain, they went up in arms, they protested. He says, no, abortion is permissible. Why? It's a man-made law. Man can make an adjustment for a man. Then they spoke about gay rights. Then the Pope first, he objected to it. Now he says, no, it's permissible. That gay rights also permissible. So wherever the man is going to make an objection, man is going to adjust it. So it's not man, it's not God that you're worshipping, or worshipping a man. When you're worshipping a man, then man can make adjustments for man. So man can only do to a certain point. He can't do beyond that. So hence this Christian law is just a man-made law. It's not God's law. And man's law cannot replace Allah Pak's law. And a simple illustration to show that man's law cannot replace Allah Ta'ala's law is you replace the law of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's law is you steal and your hand must be cut off. Robbed, cheated and all that. And you stole, so the hand must be cut off. Now you replace it with a man-made law. When you replace it with a man-made law, then your homes needed to be burglar guarded. Every small home needs burglar proof, burglar guard. Then the burglar guard wasn't sufficient, then you need an alarm. That was not sufficient, then you need a CCTV. That was the third level of precaution that you took. Then that was not sufficient, then you had a police patrol. Then that was also not sufficient, then you had to have a satellite. Then that was not also enough. Then you needed to have a police in the police station, a guard to guard the police station. Then that was also not sufficient. Now you within the confines of your house and you're still feeling very, very insecure. You feeling insecure, your wife is insecure, your daughter is insecure, she can be raped, she can be murdered, wife can be killed, you can be killed, your child can be kidnapped. Why? It's because you have replaced the law of Allah Ta'ala with a man-made law. Now look at the beauty of the law of Allah Ta'ala. When it comes to the law of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah says, وَلْيَشْهَدْ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. When we're going to amputate that hand, that must be witnessed by people. People must see it. You're going to broadcast it, you're going to advertise it, you're going to show it the whole world. Advertise it, show it, televise the thing, broadcast the thing. And let the whole world know about it, let the whole world see it. One man's hand is being amputated and the whole world is seeing. Nobody's going to go even close to theft. Nobody's going to, I'm seeing that man's hand. Hand was there. And in a moment, that hand is slashed, is cut off. Now, nothing. So when you saw it with your own eye, then that is the greatest lesson. It's the greatest lesson for you. Then you don't want to go close to stealing. As a result, Saudi Arabia is not a pure Islamic country. You won't say it's a pure Islamic country. But a jeweler, right, the jewelers there are far wealthier than our jewelers here. You go and see the jewelry shops there and you see our jewelers here. No comparison. Right? When namaz time goes, for 3-4 hours they can just put a sheet, just a cloth over their shops. They can go for namaz, and talk outside, make stories, whatever. After 3-4 hours they can come to the shop, no fear in the world. No alarm, no CCTV, no police, no patrol, no satellite, nothing. So how did it work? Here you replace Allah Ta'ala's law with man-made law. You had so much of precautionary measures, but still you feel insecure. So many people are being, thousands of people are being murdered, killed. Why? Because of robbery, theft. And yeah, only one person's hand was amputated. Now, the whole world is living in security, in peace, in comfort. You're sleeping well. Your children are sleeping well. Your mother, your parents are sleeping well. Otherwise, your parents are not living in ease. Your wife is not living in ease. Your child is going to madrasa or school. She's not going in ease. Nobody's in ease. So the only person that is in ease and comfort is the robber and the person that is stealing. He is walking comfortably with his chest out. He's walking in the streets. And the one that is law-abiding, he's afraid. He's as though he's in prison. So then the summary and the khulasa of this whole thing is, then it is better to be a robber. So this is what Christianity is showing you, that you're better off being a robber. It's better off being stealing than being a law-abiding citizen.
Yeah, one person we showed a lesson on. We made a lesson of one person, and the whole world came right. And there you try to replace Allah's law with your own law, the whole world is living in fear. So you can't replace. Allah's law cannot be replaced. Anything else besides the law of Allah Ta'ala is a man-made. And man-made law is a man-made law. It can't work. It can work for one person perhaps. It can work for two people. It can't work for one day or 2 days. It can work for one place. It can't be a universal law. Only law that can be universal and it can work for every person, every place, at every time is the law of Allah Ta'ala. He made man and he knows what's man's problems and what's the solution. You didn't make man and nor did I make man. So I don't know his problems and I don't know his solutions. He's made it so he knows his solution, obviously. So this person had gone out in Jamaat, you see, and he came back and he conscientized himself. Then you know what? I need to be very conscious. He came back, he's got a shop right in front of the Haram Sharif, jewelry shop, and he tells his sons, you know, I went out in Jamaat, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, some consciousness and awareness has come in my heart. And really, this Khanqa or Jamaat, this is the real object. The object is to conscientize. Whether it's 40 days, 4 months, whether it's 40 years, but the whole idea is to conscientize yourself. You conscientize yourself, you've achieved it. I mean, he came back, now he called his sons. He said, you know what, I've learned this in Jamaat. That you must be fair in your dealings and give slightly more. You are weighing or you're measuring, you give slightly more than what you're supposed to be giving. Well, those children turned around to the father. They told the father, Abba, you know, you're working in gold and silver. You're not working in aloo and piyaj. You're not working with potatoes and onions here. You're working with gold and silver. You know, 1 gram, how much it can count? For something 30 rand, 40 rand, 1 gram of gold. So this is what you're working with. So the father says, yes, I do understand that it is not aloo piyaj, it's not onions and potatoes. But what I'm talking of is not even the value of this entire world. It's more than the value of the entire world because it's the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sassam's word, you can't put a value to it. It's more valuable than the whole world. He said that you need to weigh and slightly more, tip the scale slightly. So they said to the father, Abba, for that we got no reply. If it's Nabi Sassam's words, then we got no answer for that. We got no answer for that. And we have got no other option but to listen. We have to submit, it's his words, we'll have to give it all the respect. Now they started it off. In a month, they were giving approximately 100 to 200 grams. 100 grams every month. Imagine you calculate 100 grams of gold giving every month. How many thousands going? They gave. The father says, give, they gave. Now, that chacha, that old man, had just one shop before the Haram Sharif. Now he's got approximately 20 shops. They practice that. Believing in what Rasulullah Basam had said, they practiced it and they started it off. Now, with the barakat of practicing on the sunnah, now they've got 20 shops in front of the haram. And like they've got 20 shops, now each month they are giving out approximately 1 kilo of gold, more than what they're supposed to be doing. You calculate, look at the amount that they're giving and see what they got also. It's not that they're only giving and not getting. You will give and you will get. You will give and you will get. Like, you know, when you want a cross ventilation, you have to open two windows. You got only one open and you got the other one shut, you won't get a ventilation coming. So in the same manner, you will give and you will get. You will give and you will get. But the moment you close, then you're not allowing anything to come in. When you close it, you're not allowing anything to come in. So when you have left one open, one closed, then you have yourself has shut it down. But you have left both open. Now, what one is receiving and one is giving. One is, on one hand you're receiving, one hand you are giving out. So Allah Ta'ala will definitely give. The hadith says it very clearly, la imana liman la amanata lahu. This amanat, aspect of trust, not deceiving, not robbing, not cheating, whether it's in word, whether it's in wealth, whether it's in time, whether it's in your focus, you know, you're not cheating, even in your focus. I'm supposed to be concentrating on your business. I can't concentrate on my business now.
It's your time, it's your time. You have bought your time. You have bought time from me. So I need to give you my focus, my attention. I need to think for you. I can't be thinking of my own problems. So the hadith emphasizes this point so greatly that the hadith says, La imana liman la amanata lahu. You don't have that aspect of trust, then really you don't have any iman. Trust is so important, it is like faith, is iman. You have got trust, you have got iman. And you have got no trust, really you do not have iman. Wala dira liman la ahda lahu. And similarly, you can't keep up to your contracts, you can't keep up to your pledges and your promises. Really, you got no deen. Outwardly, it may seem, it may appear that you have got deen, but really, you do have no deen. So, a mu'min is one who is very, very committed to his trust, whatever trust. And trust doesn't only mean dealings, it doesn't only mean wealth, even words, I have confided in you. So, that's also trust. Al majalisu bil amana. I have confided in you, I told you something, right? So that is in trust. Now you can't go and share my secret with anybody else because I have held you in confidence. So you see, this aspect of trust is so important in deen. And like we will listen to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will see prosperity. And in the event you leave what Rasulullah wasallam had to say, then that prosperity will also leave you, somehow or the other. That prosperity will leave you, definitely, sooner or later. Sometimes it will happen that your business will go down. Sometimes it will happen that the numbers will, you'll get more. You're taking from every client, you're taking, say, 2 grams more of gold, right? So 50 clients, you've got already 100 grams more. 100 grams of gold, you've got more. So outwardly, it may seem that the numbers are increasing and swelling. But Allah Ta'ala will put you in problems, in difficulties. You don't have a good relationship with your wife, children is becoming disobedient, or the child that is born, he's not so intelligent. You have got some type of problem and some type of complication within the house. Why is that complication came about? Because you were not fair. When you were not fair, now something must go wrong in your house. Within your house, something will go wrong. The staff are not listening to you, the children are becoming disobedient, someone is coming into drugs, the daughter is not listening to you, she's running away. Last week, one person, very popular person, very, very popular person, not popular, very popular person. But poor person got too absorbed in wealth. Very, very absorbed, got sucked in wealth, became like mad in wealth. And outwardly he seems to be a very, very pious person, very good person. And then his wife, his daughter is a CA, very intelligent person. Then you're not worried, you see. When you're not worried about Allah Pak, you don't have that consciousness. Then everything goes wrong in your life. I say, Mullah, please make dua, please. What happened? My daughter, she is planning to run away with a black man, running away. Not even a Muslim. He got no Islam, nothing. And she's planning to run away with him. Now, I say, I don't know where to hide my shame. I don't know where to hide my face in shame. But now you are fraudulent, you are robbing, you are cheating, you are doing all this. Now, this is a result, this is a consequence. If you do this, then this will be the consequence, definitely. You can't say it won't happen. It must happen. It must happen. There's a promise of Allah Ta'ala, it must happen. You fear, and you're truthful, you're honest, you will get that type of consequence. And you're dishonest, you're not fair, you're robbing, cheating, whatever else. And then this must be the consequence. It must happen. We mustn't think to ourselves, you know, that I got away. I did this and I got away. It may seem to you that you have got away. Really, you have got yourself into a greater problem. But you're honest and you're truthful. Outwardly, it seems that you have given slightly more. But you have got Rasulullah's dua with you. You got Allah Ta'ala's help with you. You got the nusrat with you. I'll just relate one incident. End of this talk now. One person is traveling in India, long distance, you know, from here till Cape Town. So it will take him 2 days to travel, 48 hours. By train he's traveling. So he's got a big bundle of money, about 20 million rupees he's got. In the old days he's got 20 million rupees now. There's no other modes of transport, so he has to go by train. But this big bundle of money, now what to do? So he has to go, for example, from here till Maritzburg, and from Maritzburg he has to take another train to Cape Town. But the stopover in Maritzburg is for approximately 10 hours, 10, 12 hours, night time, 12 hours. And then he has to take a connecting train right to Cape Town. So he's got this big bundle of money. Now he's thinking to himself, oh, 12 hours wait here, and then I may fall asleep, and I got this bundle of 20,000 rupees. Someone steals it, my sleep, what's going to happen? So he thought to himself, the best option is, let me go to the station master and tell him, you know, I got this, and I'll see you, right? I'll give you 500 or something for the night, but just give me a nice apartment, I'll sleep nicely, and then I will continue my journey when the next train comes. So give me an apartment that I can rest. The night is very long, cold, and I can't be resting out here. If I fall asleep and this thing goes, then what's going to happen? I don't mind giving you that 500 or whatever, but just give me a place to sleep. So now, when the station master heard the story, he said, yeah, I got an apartment, you go and sleep there, lay the whole place out for him nicely. In the meanwhile, the station master told the sweeper secretly, but you know what you do? When this person is fast asleep, you will go and just slit his throat. See, he's got the bundle of 20 million. What we will do is we'll go 50-50. You take 10, I'll take 10. We don't have to work for the rest of our life. Yeah, we're working and getting 50 rupees a month. Yeah, we'll get 20 million. Two of us, we can share it half-half. We don't have to work for the rest of our lives. So anyway, this thing appealed to the sweeper. Well, he's getting peanuts. If the station master himself is getting 50, what he'll get? He'll get about 10 rupees. So for him, it's very great money. So anyway, after some time now, you know, late at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, he thought, now this person must be fast asleep, went into the room, quietly sneaked into the room, saw that the sheet was covering the head, and he said, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, like Bakri time, and he went chop the head, and dubbed the head, dumped the body, dumped the head, everything finished. Anyway, now it was the time for the train, you know, the connecting train to go to Cape Town. So this passenger went to the station master to go and offer him his gratitude and that 500 rupees that he had promised. So he went, Jazakallah, thank you, man. You know, you gave me this apartment, take this 500 rupees. I'm very, very happy, very grateful. He got a shock of his life that this man was dead. I saw that blood dripping and I saw that body being thrown. Where is this person came up from? Where did he come from? Anyway, that man sat in the train and he's gone. They went and investigated. It happened that that apartment, that was the station master's, his own child had walked into that apartment. It was late at night. He saw there's nobody sleeping here. Now why? The father's room, and nobody's sleeping. Let me go and have a rest at least. I'm tired. Let me go and sleep. So he put the sheet over his head. This sweeper came in. When he came in, he got instruction, you don't pick up the sheet, you just go and say Bismillah and chop off the head. So he chopped off the head of the station master's son. See, therefore they say, Desi Karni Vesi Bharni. Desi Karni Vesi Bharni. Naman to karke dekh. Jannat bhi hai, dozakh bhi hai. Naman to marke dekh. What he says, Desi Karni Vesi Bharni. As you will sow, you will reap. If you don't believe in what I'm saying, that as you sow, you will reap, then try it out. Or Jannat bhi hai, Dozakh bhi hai. There is a thing like Jannat, there is a thing like Jahannam. If you don't believe this, that there is a thing like Jannat and Jahannam, then die and see. You will see it for yourself. You will see it yourself. Jaisi karni, vaisi bharni, na maan to karke dekh. So it's a promise of Allah Ta'ala. You will be truthful, you will be honest, and Allah Ta'ala will see you right. Somehow or the other, things will work out for you. You've been truthful, you've been honest, you've been faithful, you've been loyal. I mean, a man, what's the greatest thing that you want from your wife? The greatest thing that you want from your wife is she must be loyal. But the moment she's turned her eyes to someone else, will you respect her? Will you show her that love? Will you spend money on her? Then you don't want to see her. Why? She's turned her eyes from you to someone else. Now you don't give her that respect, you don't give her that love at all. Similarly, she gives you her life. The wife gives you her life. Why? Because you are for her. But if you turn your eyes away from her to other people, to other women, then she is not there for you now. I say, oh, you got other women now. I'm not your wife. So she also is not faithful to you. So So you want the same thing from her, and she wants the same thing from you. What faithfulness, and you want loyalty. Allah Pak wants this precious commodity from you, that you be for him. Whatever he's telling you, then you be faithful, you be loyal, you be trustworthy, you be honest. And the rest of it, Allah will give it to you. Like when the wife is honest, she's faithful, she's loyal, she's obedient, then you will make everything happen for her. Whatever you've got, we'll give you. You'll pour. But take, take. Earn so much of money, you sweated the whole day. Take. Why? Because you saw loyalty, you saw respect, you saw obedience, you saw honesty in her. So you gave her everything. So exactly the same, if you're going to be honest, you're going to be truthful, you're going to be loyal, you're going to be faithful to Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will pour everything to you. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem. وآله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد ما آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه.